1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11. We have tablets, phones, a good old-fashioned, not even old-fashioned, but a good old Bible. It's good. Verse 1. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge, by means of the same Spirit, to another faith, by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing, by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Well, today we want to focus on being equipped by the Spirit, what that looks like. And just want to remind us of, I've given you a piece of paper about a month ago or so of all the key result areas. So just a reminder, it'll be up on the screen there, I believe. This is key result area number 4 of our vision and mission. Each disciple in Christ will have the opportunity to discover and develop their spiritual giftedness in order that the body of Christ might serve him effectively and fruitfully. Our ministries will not lack for spiritual leadership as we grow and develop kingdom leaders. Kingdom leaders, equipping starts with the Holy Spirit. And what does Paul say here? Well, I'm going to talk about two things: Holy Spirit speech and Holy Spirit service. You remember two things. It's the two things I want to talk about: Holy Spirit speech and Holy Spirit service. Paul says here he does not want us to be ignorant about the spiritual gifts. We know that this letter to the Corinthians was not the first letter they received, but this was a second letter. We don't know much about the first letter. But there's actually 3 letters: 4 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, and 2 Corinthians. And they were interested about spiritual gifts. The context of Corinth was one of many gods. Much was going on within that culture, and spiritual gifts had become something of a one-upmanship within that society. To say, you know, because there are certain parallels to paganism and what was going on within that culture of the day. And so they would try to one-up each other. We're going to talk a little bit about that a little later. But Paul didn't want them and doesn't want us to be ignorant about the spiritual gifts that are present in our lives or unaware. It's interesting. He brings a comparison in verse 2. It says, you know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. As I read that, the word mute really stuck out to me, really came off the page to me. I don't know if you have those moments in your life where you read the word and it's just, there's like a spiritual highlighter that kind of comes off, and that was that word for me this week, mute. Idols don't speak to us. We may think they do, but we look at passages in the Old Testament such as Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 18 through 20, which says this: of what value is an idol carved by a craftsman, or an image that teaches lies? For the one who makes it trusts in his own creation. He makes idols that cannot speak. Woe to him who says to wood, come to life, or to lifeless stone, wake up. Can it give guidance? Is it covered with gold and silver? There is no breath in it. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. Interesting words to think about in relation to this. That's in a plethora of gods, in a plethora of voices within the Corinthian pantheon and within our own society today, what voice are we listening to? Right? As I was just reading that last verse, Paul's encouragement to us within the book of Corinthians comes back to me, that we are the temple of God's Holy Spirit. It says what? In Habakkuk chapter 2, sorry, Habakkuk 2:20, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is in you. The Lord is in his holy temple. Are we listening? Are we listening? Think about that for a minute in this comparison, the Old to the New Testament, right? The Lord stayed within the tabernacle. The Lord, that was where the priests met with God. But we can meet with God anywhere because the Holy Spirit is in us, folks. We are Holy Spirit-filled believers here today. What a wonderful thing that we have, the opportunity, no matter where we are, we can make an impact. And I'm excited about what PK is going to teach this coming Saturday. Men, you have impact. We have impact because the Holy Spirit is living inside of us. What a powerful thought. The things that we consider more important, or the things that the Corinthians here would have considered more important, are just mute. Really do not speak to the deep heart need of man. We do not speak to that. But the Holy Spirit speaks to that. And Jesus has two definitions or two titles for the Holy Spirit. One is advocate, and the other is Spirit of Truth. As we read in the Greek, parakletos, right? We have that advocate, that peace giver. The Holy Spirit is here to speak to our hearts, to give us a sense of worth, and speaks to our minds to remind us of his word. He gives us worth, and he gives us his word. What a wonderful thought. But how does that happen? Well, we need to be silent. Think about that for a minute. What Habakkuk says here is still applies to us today, and what Paul is saying to us here still applies to us today, that things in our lives that we lift up before God or put up before God, or put before him, are idols. Whatever that may be. You know, they may not be wood and stone as they were in the Old Testament. Sometimes we have a hard time relating to that. But sometimes we put things just as good as our families before God as an idol. I've been guilty of that. I've met many other people that have been guilty of that. And it's tough. Not that families aren't good. We need to put Christ first. Christ at the center. The Holy Spirit will speak to us. Because when we put other things before God, whether it be people, places, or things, we don't hear God's voice as well as we used to. Right? Just look at Eli and Samuel. Prime example in the Old Testament. Right? We think about that for a minute. God spoke to the young little Eli, or young little Samuel, three times. And Eli, who was a priest who should have been hearing the word of God and hearing God's voice, is getting a little bit distracted because his sons were up to no good. They had put idols in their lives, Hophni and Phinehas. A prime example for us today. How do we, if we are to speak what the Holy Spirit says to us, we first need to hear what he says to us. And if we can't hear him, how are we going to speak like him? Verse 3. Therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Well, from theologians B.B. Barton and G.R. Osborne, he says this. Evidently, the cult religions and evil spirits spoke through their followers in what was called ecstatic or inspired speech. Evil forces were at work in the world, and the Corinthians would need to understand that what they had experienced as tongues or inspired speech in their pagan religion was completely different from the speaking in tongues or the inspired speech that Holy Spirit brought. And just to make things clear, I didn't want to spend much time on speaking in tongues. It's just something that I know it's controversial and everyone has a different belief on that. But But that, for one, speaking in tongues is not the sole evidence of being filled with the Spirit. Speaking in tongues is not the sole evidence of being filled with the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, those things evidenced in a believer's life and the spiritual gifts, including tongues, is part of being filled with the Holy Spirit. We can have another topic. I think that would be time to have a one-on-one discussion. But ultimately, our speech needs to be changed. Our physical, verbal speech needs to be changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's evidenced by being filled. When our heart is changed, what does Jesus say? Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Right? If you have idyllic notions or idol-focused notions in your heart, out of that heart, so will your mouth speak. Whatever, what is the focus of our conversations? What is the focus of our minds? Right? That's what we will speak about. That's what we'll talk about. So we need to be careful to guard our hearts, as Jeremiah talks about, by the power of the Holy Spirit, because you say the heart is deceitful above all else. Right? We need to be careful what that looks like. The Holy Spirit will help us by renewing and strengthening, giving us new perspectives from His Word. So what is an example from God's Word of someone speaking by the power of the Holy Spirit? Well, I believe that Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 through 17 speaks of this. It's Jesus and Peter's conversation. Jesus asked him, "But what about you?" He asked, "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." The Father revealed this. And the Holy Spirit, as He empowers us as believers, will reveal that to us as well. Right? What does Paul say? "Therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed.' And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the power of the Holy Spirit." And that's what Peter said. Jesus is Lord. Powerful. I had the privilege about 5 years ago to meet a former NHLer. Some of you may know, I'll kind of date myself here as I say this name. His name is Ryan Walter. Any of you remember Ryan Walter? If you're NHL fans, oh, there's one guy in the back, right on. Oh, there we go, Ryan Walter. It was great to talk with him. And he conducted a marriage retreat for Family Life Canada. And Sherry and I and a few others from our church attended that. And as he was talking, he shared the moment of his salvation, the moment of time when he put Jesus first in his life. And it was on a hockey road trip with the Washington Capitals, the first team he ever played for. And so he was on the road in Edmonton, of all places. Yes, Edmonton can be holy ground too. Oh. Oh, I have a hard time saying that. Anyway, blasphemy. No, just kidding. Anyway, he was on the road. He was in an Edmonton hotel and gave his life to the Lord the night previous. He had gotten a Gideon Bible and he looked it up. He was just really struggling and bowed the knee. I think he was either the assistant captain or captain of the Washington Capitals at the time. And that evening, or the next evening, they were playing the Edmonton Oilers. And as they were playing, as often is the case, and I find myself yelling at the TV sometimes, the ref made a bad call, believe it or not. And so Ryan Walter comes over the bench, starts getting a little heated, and he goes to the ref. And as he opens his mouth, he says, "Ref, what's up with that call? Can you please tell me why you made that call?" He's like, "Oh, there's no four-letter expletives coming out of my mouth." Wow. What? He was almost just dumbfounded by how much, in a matter of a couple of days, his speech had changed. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit-inspired speech. Works for NHL players and everyone alike, right? So this manifestation, this Spirit is given, and it changes us. renews us and draws us. Verses 4 through 6 of chapter 12. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. All of them. As I said before, there's a competition that was happening in Corinth to a spiritual one-upmanship, right? And sometimes that takes place, and we have to, even in our modern day, and sometimes people think that someone up front who has a musical gift or who has a speaking gift is more important than someone who sets up chairs or cleans toilets. I want to say today, folks, no. All gifts are given for the common good. There may be different works, different service, different things going on, but they all matter. Every single one of you has a gift. We are all temples of God's Holy Spirit. And no matter what you do to serve the body, it matters. It matters. We need all of you. We need each one. And Paul talks about that in verses 12 and following. We all know he gives us a biology lesson, a spiritual biology lesson, right? What does this look like? Different parts of the body. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you, right? The ear can't say, and to the nose, I don't need you. We all need each other. We can't jockey for a higher spiritual position. All these gifts, no matter what they are, they're different in each of us, but they're here to serve, the body, the community, to build it up. They work together, giving direction, giving leadership. It's a little background. The Greek word for gifts in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 12 is charismata. The root word comes from the word charis, which means grace, and signifies that these endowments or these gifts from the Holy Spirit come from the free bounty of God's grace and love. They're not necessarily rewards for holiness, spirituality, or some spiritual maturity. Out of God's love, he gives us these gifts. His love. We don't earn these gifts. We can greatly, and Paul says to us at the very end of this chapter, greatly desire the greater gifts. We can ask God for them. We can ask God for these gifts. God's grace is not just his unmerited favor, but God's grace is his empowering presence to be all he's called us to be and to do all he's called us to do to the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. Charisma means grace, gift. In the Greek sense, guess what? We're all charismatics. What? A Baptist church full of charismatics? Woo! We are endowed with the gift of God's grace. It's a grace gift. Amen? Yes. And so, even though you might be a wallflower, you can be a charismatic. In the Greek way of thinking. Wonderful to think about that. We are Holy Spirit-filled believers. Holy Spirit-filled. So the Holy Spirit works in a variety of ways, and the diversity of gifts and service and work in the body of Christ brings out the beauty of the Holy Spirit. The beauty. And that no matter where we're at, his Spirit is working in and through us. And that's what Holy Spirit service is. Rick Warren, Purpose Driven Life, says there's two often problems in thinking about spiritual gifts. We talked about them, one of them at length, gift envy. And the other one I want to mention just briefly is gift projection. This happens when you expect other people to have the same gift and do the same things as you do and feel the same way you do about the subject with that same passion. And that just isn't going to happen, right? Sometimes we want that and we desire that, but we can. Sometimes we do meet other people, and I have met other people with similar giftings to myself. But that doesn't mean that we project that on other people. Diversity in the body of Christ is the work of the Holy Spirit. And I love, as I've been pastoring Saskatchewan and now here, to see the diversity of what God has. It's almost as if you can take a picture for a moment of a stained glass window. Have you ever been in an old church and they have these stained glass windows and there's beautiful pieces of glass that are all fit together, often in a picture of something that Jesus did or with scripture underneath? I see that as a picture of the church in a way. All of us come with our rough edges and our different personalities and our different giftings, and the light of God's Son shines through us to bring beauty to the world around us, beauty to each other, to build up the body. That is what the Holy Spirit gives as gifts. Think about one of your first birthdays that you ever had in your life, or maybe your first Christmas, or one of the first Christmases you remember. I don't know about you, but I got pretty excited as a little kid when I went downstairs on Christmas morning and there was a bunch of gifts underneath the tree. Or on my birthday when it was the middle of summer and I got to hang out with my friends and get to open presents. The anticipation of that. Even this week, a package arrived at our house. We've been doing some online Christmas shopping already. And I can say this because she's not here, but our lovely little inquisitive Sophia found this box that was supposed to be hiding and looked inside. Brr. Oh, man. I wrecked it already. She said, "How long do we have to wait, Daddy?" I said, 2 months. "What? 2 months?" I said, "Yeah, a little over 2 months." "Oh, really?" And that's, I love that picture. The anticipation of the gift opening, right? Anticipation of what's going to happen 2 months and a few days from now. And that's, I want to bring that into the spiritual context of spiritual gifts. That, you know, it says in the last verse, I mentioned before, but eagerly desire the greater gifts. Eagerly desire. There's that eagerness in childhood, isn't there? For gifts, like physical gifts. But do we as adults eagerly desire the gifts that God has to give to us? Is there an eagerness there? I think oftentimes there's a fear there. There's an anxiety that rises up in us, sometimes because of poor teaching, and sometimes the manifestation of those gifts coming out in ways that have been abusive. Just get really serious with you right now, right? We know, we've seen them, we've heard about them, watched them on TV, unfortunately, for those who represent Christianity in a very poor way. And we come up with what a phrase I've coined, charisphobia. We're afraid of the grace gift. We're afraid of it when we shouldn't be afraid of it. We shouldn't be afraid to have a biblical impartation of truth in our mind and heart. Amen? That's what we desire. As Christians, we need to have that eagerness as a child, just as Jesus said, to come and receive the gift that the Holy Spirit has for each and every one of us. Jesus has a gift, and many of you have received that gift and are using it and operating in those gifts. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But there's more. Where is your eagerness level this morning, church? Where is your eagerness level? Be eager. Think Christmas morning. Think birthdays. I know some of you said, "I'm fed up with having birthdays." Right? I've talked to a few of you. Right? Forget it. Who cares? Cake, I don't need it. Presents, I don't need it. Well, that may be fine and well. But what about your spiritual birthday? Think back to that time when you became a believer. Maybe you've always known that. I know I had the privilege this past Friday night to share of my time of coming to know Christ and what God has done in my life as I spoke at the Nazarene Coffee House. It was wonderful to connect with those believers over there. But it reminded me of the eagerness, the presence of God in my life, and what that means. And that, do you desire a certain gift? Is there something that maybe you've been praying about for 20 years, and God has given it to you yet? Maybe there's someone here like that. I've met a pastor in Saskatchewan who prayed and is still praying for a certain gift that is listed in this passage we just read. He hasn't gotten it. That's okay. God can say no, right? He often does say no. But do we give him a chance to say no or yes? Or are we too afraid to even approach him on this subject because of what's been happening? I pray that we would, and that God would help us with that, to have that eagerness level go up just a little bit, just like a little child. Some things that can help us are spiritual gifts tests. I don't know. I'm going to just get a raise of hands. How many of you have ever taken a spiritual gifts test? Here, be honest. Right on. Yeah. It's helpful. But sometimes I think within circles of Christianity, we rely too much on those gift tests. And we think, oh, well, it's like Myers-Briggs and all those other things. And those are good. They're evaluators. But don't stake your life on it. Okay? Just a word of encouragement, word of guidance for that. There's a place, you have it up there on the screen. I found it helpful. It's pretty succinct, unlike some other ones that are a little more in-depth. But spiritualgiftstest.com is a website that's helpful for you in that, to give you some guidance and direction. I want to give you just a brief synopsis of these gifts in verses 7 through 10. Timothy Keller gives a really good picture of how we can group these in clusters. First one is prophet, prophetic gifts, teaching, preaching, visions, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, tongues. Well, these are prophetic gifts of the Spirit. Second one is pastoral gifts, mercy, encouragement, going towards the needs of others, shepherding. And kingly gifts, those of organization, administration, can be these just a helpful guidance for us to think about these gifts in this area. But verse 7 is so key. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The common good. Not to project on others, not to have competition with, but to build each other up. And how does that manifestation take place? How does that gift be given? An eagerness level. Well, what are some of the things that we as a church have done in the past? Well, I appreciate Linda finding different things in the history of our church. And one thing that was done over 10 years ago in 2007 was a HID ministry. Or one, have I done this before? Or I, meaning am I interested in this? And D, meaning doing this. So just an interesting thing that helps us and it helped the church at the time. And we may revisit this, we'll see, just to evaluate different areas of service, different areas that we can look at. And if you'd like a copy of this, I'm sure myself or Linda can get that to you. Just a helpful tool to be able to help us as a church and help you to, each and every one of us, to understand and maybe grasp a little bit where we can be serving and what we can be doing. Another way is just, again, simply to ask. Just ask God in prayer. God, what gifts do I have? What does that look like? And he may reveal that to you. Or like my pastoral friend, it may take 20 years and the answer may still be no. But maybe there's a new angle on the gifts that you have. There's a desire in your heart to walk out in a certain way or a certain ministry that's not happening in our church right now. There's something there that is just been percolating inside of you. Say, you know what? We haven't been doing that. Or maybe we haven't been doing that well as a church. Talk to me. Talk to Pastor Matt. Talk to Linda. Talk to one of the elders. Say, hey, you know, I have this idea. I don't really see it happening. Come in and talk to us. We want to hear that. Love the illustration by Corrie ten Boom. Some of you probably read it. Oftentimes, we are like a glove, and the Holy Spirit is the hand that moves the glove. And I want to see us as a church come to the point where we say, you know what? We don't want to be a limp glove. sitting there at the table, being filled with the Spirit, walking out in the spiritual gifts that he has for us. It's like that hand going in the glove and moving out, doing service given for the common good. We as elders and as believers want to see each one walking out in those gifts of the Spirit, to have that eagerness level increased. A man by the name of Parker Palmer gives us a grid on how we learn, how we walk out. And he helps us. And I think it is a helpful tool to think about as we walk out with the Holy Spirit. He says, on the one hand, we come into a knowledge that we have an unconscious incompetence level. And we go from unconscious incompetence to conscious incompetence to going into conscious competence and unconscious competence. As we think about that in the spiritual realm, some of us may not know what our gifts are at all. We're unconsciously incompetent. But to move, and that's where the eagerness level goes, to eagerly desire those gifts. That we have gone now, I think hopefully all of us today, to a place where we are consciously, maybe, incompetent of maybe walking out. But we can't be. All of us, as believers, we can't do it on our own. It's by the Holy Spirit that we walk out. And then to get to the point of just knowing that we know that we know that we know, that unconscious competence, we just walk out. We have the desire every day, every minute, to be in his presence, to have him empower us, and know that he gives to each one. We look in verse 11 to close. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Gives them to each one just as he determines. God knows what gifts you need. God knows what gifts we all need. But are we eager for them? Are we open to receiving those gifts? So I want to challenge us today as a church that we would be open to receiving those gifts and to walk out, and that they would just flow out of us so naturally, supernaturally, really, in service to him. That our speech and our service would be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we give to you and thank you for this time. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would increase our eagerness level for your gifts. That Holy Spirit, take the words, the feeble, humble words of your servant here this morning. May they be used for the impact of your kingdom, and that we would truly have the eagerness of and desire of Sophia. Oh, I have to wait that long. Oh, Lord Jesus. But that you have gifts to give us. Some of them may be a big surprise to us. Help us, Lord, to eagerly desire those things, to walk out and speak how you'd have us to speak, to serve how you'd have us to serve. Help us to know what that looks like, if it's taking a test or if it's just getting out there, Lord. Father, sometimes it's just getting out into service and ministry, and then we find out what our gifts are. Right. Help us not to put undue attention on gifts, but also help us, Lord, help those extremes, if there are some here in either of those camps that are putting too much emphasis or not enough emphasis because of fear. Father, your word says to us, perfect love casts out all fear. So, Father God, you are perfect love. You are the embodiment of love and grace. Father, I pray that that love and grace would flow through us right now. It would cast out irrational fears, cares, phobia, Lord, please, so that we aren't hindered in the work of the kingdom that you have for us. Father, I want to see unhindered kingdom work in our midst. Help us, Lord, please. We desire that. So I pray that if there are walls of undue promotion or protection because of the abuse of gifts. Father, that I pray that you would help us to have a healthy, biblical, rooted focus and to be equipped for the works of service that you have for us. Lord Jesus, we give that over to you. We thank you for what you want to do through us and what you have done. The past, the legacy of faith in this church, the legacy of your Spirit at work at Faith Community Baptist Church is truly invigorating, truly inspiring. But we want to continue in that so that we can see this world touched. So Holy Spirit, come, fill me, use me, use us, touch the world for your kingdom's sake. Jesus. And if you have any thoughts, things that are coming to you, or you're just struggling about this idea of spiritual gifts, don't let this be the end. Come and talk to me, to Pastor Matt, one of the elders. Thanks.